as you call that radio, season 4, episode 15 of the audio podcast. I hope you're very, very well. Sorry it's a little bit late this week. Every time I finished the show, something else happened. Donald Trump got assassinated again, so I had to go back. And then Dun the Rabbit Hole made a shock return, so I had to do something about that. I don't have a guest this week, so I just thought I would do a new special. And things keep happening, and then just right now I've heard that P. Diddy's just been arrested, but I've got to stop this show. It's got to stop. So what we're going to do today is, we're going to talk about Donald Trump getting assassinated again, or nearly getting assassinated again, and then we're going to talk about the return of Dun the Rabbit Hole, the shocking return. Can it work? We're also going to be responding to some Patreon questions, including Greg from Leicester, who asked if what happened with the Tommy Robinson rally in Glasgow, was there any bother up there? And we're going to talk about a little bit of a fracas that happened at McCool's Bar and how McCool's Bar responded to the Sun in the best possible way. We've also got a bit of fight news, a bit of boxing. That is Jane's Addiction fighting on stage and cancelling their tour and maybe finishing their band. So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about Linkin Park. Did Scientology just buy a band? Is Scientology now a record label? We'll be talking about that. And we'll be talking about Dave Grohl and a millionaire rock star has sex out with wedlock scandal. The shock and horror of all. And if we've got time, we'll maybe respond to the new Ren single, but I don't think we will have time. Trying to keep it all to an hour. This is the news on You Call That Radio. Next week we'll have Christopher MacArthur Boyd on the show. It'll be live on YouTube, and then we'll put it in the audio podcast, hopefully on Sunday or Monday, depending on how my internet is, because I will be going to Equinox Festival for the Gyro Babies' last festival of the summer. It's been a long summer, and speaking of being a long summer, Gyro Babies also has a brand new single out on Friday the 20th, so if it's after the 20th, it is out now on all platforms. But if it's not the 20th, then you can, there's only two ways to hear it. If you're a patron, go to patreon.com/ You Call That Radio, and you get the free download before anyone else in the world. And it's also available on Bandcamp as an EP with two bonus tracks as well. So any support for the single is really appreciated. Thanks to Cam Glenn and Sonny Govan and Louder Than War Radio for supporting the song so far. It's called Steal My Sleep, and it's taken off the forthcoming album. More news coming up on that. Just thank you. Final thing, there's no adverts on this show. There's no sponsors. There is no funding. So if you enjoy the show, you can support it at patreon.com/ You Call That Radio. And for only £3 a month, you get some free stuff. You get some discounts. You get some discounts as well on our birthday party, which is October the 5th. At Room 2, 5 acts over 5 hours on the 5th of October from 5pm to 10pm. And I hope you can make it along to that one. 5 years we've been doing this. Thanks to all the patrons. It wouldn't have been possible without you. But that's it. No more adverts. Let's just get into it. This is the news on You Call That Radio. Just about to finish the week's show. And then I just found out that someone has tried to assassinate Donald Trump again.
You're joking. Not another one?
Now, I don't know if I've ever told you the story about the time I met Donald Trump in Troon. He was playing golf. He was playing a bit of golf in the Shire. I don't know if I've ever told you what he told me, but I'll never forget it. He came up to me and he said, Mark,
they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets.
So it's not been a great week for Donald Trump. He performed poorly in the debate against Kamala Harris. And then someone tried to shoot him again. Nothing can get much worse than that, you would think. But wait, wait, it can.
Latin music superstar Nicki Jam. Do you know Nicki? She's hot. Where is Nicki? Thank you, Nicki. Great to be having you here. Now you have to get... Oh, look.
I'm glad he came up.
Back to the assassination in Sunday's case. It was 58-year-old Ryan Wesley Routh has been arrested. But basically, he was found hiding in the bushes with a GoPro and a machine gun, which is a bit suspicious. It's a wee bit suspicious. Sky News keeps on saying alleged assassination, apparent assassination, and everyone's going mad and saying, you know, how much evidence do you need? But I think that's most of the Americans are saying that. It is a thing in the UK where you have to say alleged and apparent, even when they're banged to rights, until they've actually been convicted of something. He definitely was guilty. He was caught running away. So basically, the Secret Service are always one round of golf ahead of Donald Trump, and they just seen a guy with a machine gun and a GoPro. So they started firing gunshots at him. Then he sped away in a van and got caught and arrested. So half the internet is saying it's fake to boost his poll numbers, and the other half is saying it's because Kamala is running scared. She's trying to take him out. And I'm here to say that you can both be wrong. Right, this is the guy who said immigrants were eating all the cats and eating all the dogs. And he also said this week that he hates Taylor Swift. So perhaps the gunman was a Swiftie. He looks pretty guilty. But we're all guilty of commenting on breaking news, when breaking news should be called, nobody knows what's happening, but I'm just going to take a punt. Here's my prediction and what I think might be going on. The question's always like, who stands to gain? Well, Trump had a shite debate. I think we can all agree on that. He got too angry. You can tell he hasn't recovered from Biden getting the sack. He hasn't mentally recovered from that. He's still talking about Biden all the time. There was no doubt in my mind he was going to beat Biden by a landslide. And then the first assassination attempt happened. And he had that picture with the ear hanging off and, you know, fist in the air. And I thought there's no way that he's going to beat Biden. And he wouldn't have beat Biden. But now they've replaced Biden with someone who is partially competent. And based on that debate, Kamala will win quite easily. Things can change, though. Things can change. A lot can change in politics. It's already flip-flopped about 5 times in the last few months. And I don't think that Kamala, although she performed well, because Trump was angry, he kept on missing all the zingers. He just couldn't stomach it. He just looked raging that he had to talk to Kamala rather than Biden. But Kamala's not going to win over any Trump fans with that kind of patronising laugh.
You remember?
Nobody's going to like that on Trump's side. Democrat supporters will like that she's kind of laughing at him and mocking him. Donald Trump is as mad as a bottle of crisps, but he's far more entertaining than Kamala. But he just keeps getting shot at. And he's not really getting a boost in the numbers like you would think, because he can't talk about it. Why doesn't he talk about it? I mean, I know at the start there was t-shirts made and some merch sold based on it. But you would think that Donald Trump, of all people, were going, they tried to shoot me in the head because I'm too real. I'm too real. They're trying to take me out. My theory is that the reason he doesn't keep boasting about how he gets shot, you know, in a 50 Cent stylee. You know, there's these videos going as if he was walking it to 50 Cent, many men was dead upon me. And I think the reason that he's not went down that route is because he's got to avoid talking about how there's a gun problem in America. And I know there's probably going to be people commenting going, there's not a gun problem in America, there's a people problem in America. But there is guns, too many guns. You know, if I lived in America, I'd want a gun, because there's so many people with guns. So I get that you don't want to give up your guns, but maybe you could scale it back a little bit and not give it to children. You're giving people machine guns before you give them a bottle of beer. To me, it's mad from the outside looking in. It's a bit mad. Maybe don't give the children as many guns. Maybe lock away your guns. Maybe think about the people that are like got psychotic tendencies, or, you know, just scale it back a little bit and don't give everybody guns. And certainly not machine guns. Nobody needs machine guns. What are you doing with machine guns? Anyway, that's my thought. I know you don't care. What do I know? What do I know? If Taylor Swift wanted to be president, Taylor Swift could quite easily be president. But anyway, I don't really care. I don't like the Republicans. I don't like the Democrats. Should have just could have had Bernie. Yous could have had Bernie Sanders. What he's doing? Yous could have had Bernie. And Scotland could have and should have had independence. Leave a comment whether you agree with me, disagree with me. I always like to see what other people think because I don't really know what I'm talking about half the time. No one expected this. I've just been hearing that Down the Rabbit Hole Music Festival is rebranding, is back Down the Rabbit Hole. First of all, as somebody who used to work for Down, I had no idea this was happening. I came home last night to find my inbox full and people tagging me, asking me for my take on it. So this is my take. Let's have a look at this statement.
You call that Radio TV.
Down the Rabbit Hole will be returning to Cardross Estate, the same location as it was, under new ownership and new management on the 1st, 2nd and 3rd of August 2025 is back Down the Rabbit Hole. That's the same weekend as Belladrum. We'll get back to that in a minute. Back Down the Rabbit Hole is now in the capable hands of recording and touring artist Brian Harkin, along with rock artist management, led by the highly experienced music industry professionals Colin Black and Paul Aspie, managing bookings for over 70 bands, including Bay City Rollers, Bad Manners and Big Country. Rock artist management is a company ran by musicians, for musicians, and currently supplies acts for most of the festivals and venues across the UK. Back Down the Rabbit Hole is returning to its roots, celebrating music, community and culture with fresh energy and new twists. Get ready for a weekend of great tunes, delicious food and experiences for all ages. With an exciting lineup on the way, blending new talent and legendary acts, there'll be something for everyone. And then there's a link to register your interest for Back Down the Rabbit Hole 2025. So, it's new owners and new management from all I can see. And my first question is, can this work? Now, for people who don't know, Down cancelled last year amid a sea of controversy. Some of it justified, some of it less so, in my opinion. Let me explain how I see it. Now, I'm not saying that I'm 100% right, before you judge what I say. Just remember, I had a lot more information behind the scenes and was aware of a lot more going on than you probably were. So bear that in mind before you comment. Things aren't always as black and white as you think. There was a lot of grey areas that people don't know about. But I know that nuanced opinions aren't very popular on social media. All of this is my opinion, by the way. I don't mind people debating me or correcting me, but please keep it civil in the comments. Just seeing people commenting this, sharing it, newspaper headlines talking about it, is bringing back a bit of PTSD for me. So, my initial thought is, it's a bit early to be attempting something like this. I feel like the brand could make a comeback one day. I mean, all the drama really happened in the last couple of years, but before that you had about 8 years where it was a good festival, an enjoyable festival. I wasn't working behind the scenes at that point, but my band played it quite often and we always had a good time. A nice mixture of headliners, weird acts from different countries, lots of grassroots artists as well. So I always had a good time at Down the Rabbit Hole as a punter and as a performer before I got involved at all. But it just seems to me so too soon after all the drama and toxicity that followed the festival last year. Now, if you don't know, due to lockdown restrictions, the festival was cancelled in 2020. Every festival got cancelled in 2020. And then it got cancelled again at the very last minute in 2021. So back in 2021, Scottish government said that you would be able to put a festival on. I think it was from mid-August onwards. But at the very last minute, that was changed. So 2020 and 2021 get cancelled at the last minute. And this left the festival in a lot of debt, because obviously they had to pay deposits for bands. They had to pay for a lot of things for a festival that never happened. So what they did was, this is probably in hindsight, the big mistake they did, was they let the tickets roll over and added a Thursday with Patti Smith, so people wouldn't ask for a refund. And like, in hindsight, that's probably where it all started going wrong, because the price rise in diesel alone from 2019, when these tickets went on sale, to 2022, when a festival actually happened, was ridiculous. The cost of living had went up, the cost of everything had went up considerably, and it wasn't the way that a lot of people predicted it would be. Like, you know, I know I would say on You Call That Radio all the time, that 2022 is going to be like the summer of love, everyone getting back out of their house and partying together. And it wasn't really like that, because for a couple of reasons. One, mainly, cost of living crisis. A lot of people couldn't afford to go to a festival, or they could only afford to go to one instead of two festivals. And there was a genuine fear in the air surrounding large gig events potentially being super spreader events. So 2022, as a result, lost a lot of money, with even my own band not getting paid. Lots of bands did get paid, lots of workers get paid, but many didn't, including my own band. The plan for 2023 was, after Dun the Rabbit Hole spoke to Musicians Union, was that they would be paying 100% in advance all the artists for next year. So a strange, bizarre scenario happened whereby all the 2023 acts that filled out their invoice actually got paid for a festival that never happened. And then while some of the bands, the 2022 bands like my own, that actually played, were still out of pocket. The plan was to use future revenue to pay off previous debts, which is far from an ideal business model, but it was really the only option left on the table, apart from the business liquidating and nobody getting paid. So that's why I was quite vocal about, let's try it. Let's, you know, 2023 had a good lineup. Let's try and save the festival and get everyone paid for 2022. In an ideal world, that's what would have happened. But the latter happened, whereby the business liquidated and a bunch of people from 2022 still didn't get paid. And then you'd all the bands from 2023 did get paid 100% for a festival that didn't happen. And it's largely due to social media tearing the festival to shreds. Rightly, wrongly, I'm probably too biased to answer that question. But what I will say is, there was a hell of a lot of slanderous misinformation floating about. Some of it was correct, but there was also a lot of nonsense going about, coming from people who work for festivals that did exactly the same thing before, and that was liquidising a festival and then bringing it back with the same name, but not paying their debts. This happens a lot in festivals, more than you'd think. There's a few festivals this has happened to that have liquidated and came back and avoided being torn to shreds on social media. There is also a lot of festivals who still owe my band money, owe me money. There's a lot of festivals who are very late with payments. It just happens all the time. Sadly, the festival scene is not in a good place just now. So what tends to happen is people pay this year's artists with next year's early bird tickets. It's quite common. It shouldn't be, not ideal, but it is what it is. But basically, when you lose the trust of most of the industry and all of the media, then that starts trickling down to buyer confidence with people who are actually purchasing tickets. So there wasn't many options left to the festival other than to chuck it. And as far as I was aware, it was gone forever. Until last night, I thought it was just gone. So I'm shocked that there's new owners, there's new management taking over. I'm shocked that they've decided to keep the same name. And, you know, by looking at the comments, it seems pretty split right now. I would say clashing with Belladrum is a bad idea, especially since there isn't that many independent festivals left in Scotland to clash with. I think it would have been better if they just went up against someone like Transmit and said, we are a Transmit alternative. Well, Belladrum's a right up north, but there is people that are loyal to Belladrum. It's a family-friendly festival. I think that it's a bad clash. I think they could have picked a better date for that. Also, I think that although the comments are pretty split, there's a lot of positivity in the comments and there's a lot of negativity in the comments. But I think after a week or two, the negative comments will continue to tarnish any ideas the new team has for it. And I think that the positive commentators will get pretty bored within the first few days because they'll be waiting for the headliners' announcements, they'll be waiting for some big announcements before they can get positive about what's going to happen. While the negative commentators will be there always. I don't see them giving up. Also, unless the new team have a very close relationship with the media, I would assume that the media are going to rip them to shreds as well. Because, I mean, it goes without saying, whether you like it or not, that clickbait headlines gets more clicks. And Dun the Rabbit Hole got a lot of clicks last year in the midst of all the controversy. So I don't think that the negative commentator... So I don't think that the people commenting against Dun the Rabbit Hole are going to go anywhere. And I don't see the media giving them a fair crack of the whip. You have the bonus of everybody who enjoyed Dun the Rabbit Hole for the 10 years or so that it was around. They will come back. But people who had a negative experience, you're taking the baggage with it. You can't just keep the positivity and not take any of the negativity. That's not how these things work. I don't know anything about the new guys apart from what I just read in the statement there. But I hope the bookings are going to be on par with what Jamie did. I think Jamie was far from perfect as an organiser. But in my eyes, he was a good guy. He made great bookings. He maybe made a couple of bad decisions. But I liked the music that he did book. He had a good ear for music. And it was always interesting lineups. There's not really another festival that can compete to it. For my taste in music, there's nothing really else in Scotland that would make those kind of bookings. And then there's Craig, his father, who was a controversial figure. He was a silent partner. I've only met him once, probably about 10 years ago when my band was just starting out. So he was a very silent partner in the background. He took nothing to do with it. It was all Jamie that was making the decisions as far as I was aware. But the involvement of Craig made the downfall of the festival have a slightly extra political component to it. Rightly or wrongly. But there was a lot of stuff said about him. I mean, I don't agree with all the things he says online, but there was a lot of nonsense going about him as well. A lot of it wasn't true. But either way, these guys are no longer involved. It seems to be new management, new owners. I don't think they're anything to do with it. The problem that remains is that there's still people that are owed money and they've got every right to be pissed off. They won't be happy to see the rebranding. And the annoying thing is that the people who did get paid properly, or the people who get paid for playing a festival they never played, they're silent. They're not going to say anything. They're not going to say, oh, well, I get paid, so I'm all right, Jack. So they're going to be silent in solidarity. So all you're going to get is people who didn't get paid, quite rightly pissed off, which is fair enough. But the people who have nothing to do with this, I would advise that they should just mind their own business. That was the sort of behaviour that killed the festival and made it so nobody get paid that was owed money. I personally never celebrated the death of the festival like a lot of people did. For 10 years they put on great headliners, booked interesting, creative acts that nobody else does. And it gave bands like my own a chance to cut our teeth on the festival scene. So it's a mess, it's a bit of a mess. I personally think it's too soon to revive it, but I wish the new owners all the best, whoever they are. I don't think I'll be having anything to do with it until certain things become clearer. But it would be good to have another festival in the scene, and hopefully they continue to make bookings like the old Dune did, like guitar bands and experimental stuff, the kind of things that I like that aren't really catered to in Scotland. I think starting from scratch when your name would have been a better idea. I think it's too soon. But what do you think? Let me know in the comments. Keep it civil. And this is Call That Radio. This is the bit where I would normally say like, subscribe.
Radio.
This is the news on You Call That Radio. In fact, this is not the news. This is your news. Because what we're doing is asking Patreons and people to comment on YouTube with the topics that they want covered. So today we're going to go to Greg from Leicester, who says, what happened with the Tommy Robinson rally in Glasgow? Was there any riots up there? Now, first of all, I think we should clarify that it wasn't a Tommy Robinson rally, because Tommy Robinson wasn't there, of course, because Tommy Robinson's on his holidays. He likes to leave the country to better himself and his family by getting warm weather as much as he can. So there was a small worry initially that there was going to be hundreds of fascists bust into Glasgow. And fortunately, it didn't come to that. It was like a small gathering of about 100 fans, some of the far right, and they were outnumbered by a few thousand, we're guessing a few thousand, anti-fascist, anti-racist organisations, including the Green Brigade, who the police kettled for an hour or two. And the only other flashpoint really worth mentioning was part of the group tried to attack McCool's Bar in High Street, but they were chased away. I actually recognise some of the people there. And, you know, McCool's is considered a Celtic bar, but it's not a Celtic bar. It's a music bar. And as you're about to see, they welcome everyone apart from bigots. So this is the one thing I loved about this, obviously, absolutely cowardly act, attacking a pub. I don't think it ended well for them, but just what you doing attacking pubs? I remember seeing Leeds fans doing this to an old guy's pub just because it looked Irish from the outside. It's absolutely despicable behaviour, man. But the one good thing that came out of this was how McCool's dealt with it. There's two things I want to look at here is one, McCool's official statement. And then secondly, we're going to look at how they responded to the Sun, who wanted a comment. So McCool says, earlier today, a group of up to 40 right-wing ultras attempted to attack McCool's. They failed. As ever, McCool stands against fascism and racism in all its forms. This is a place where everyone is welcome, no matter who they support, who they love, who they worship, or how they vote, with one exception, which was made very clear this afternoon. Nobody was hurt. And we continue as normal, and come. There's free entry tonight. Come on down, have a good night, and stand in solidarity with all of us here. McCool's anti-fascist since 1993. Good afternoon. I'm reaching out regarding videos circulating online of a mob attacking your venue after today's far-right protest in George Square. I've tried ringing you, but couldn't seem to get through. Are you able to comment on, confirm what happened here? Thanks. A reporter from The Sun. McCool's response, absolutely classic response from McCool's. Basically, a mob of purely educated and angry bigots attacked our pub, partly as a result of the lies and propaganda perpetuated on a daily basis by your newspaper. Further comment and confirmation is available on our previous social media posts. Thanks for reaching out. Please go fuck yourself. Please go fuck yourself. And I wish more people would respond to these tabloids just like that. your Daily Mails, your Sons, all these people have got blood in their hands from the riots that happened over the summer. Constantly talking about immigration, constantly talking about people in rubber dinghies rather than the billionaires in fancy yachts. And, you know, between the politicians and the media, just wanting to change the attention to anything apart from the corporations and the politicians who are destroying the country. So, well done to McCools for telling them to go fuck themselves. And yeah, I think it's something that we do need to be careful of in Scotland. I think the idea that Scotland can't be racist is ridiculous. Scotland is still racist. I mean, a lot of Scotland's racism is based on ignorance rather than sheer hatred. And you're certainly not going to get the numbers you want to defend king and country and wave union flags just because most people don't care enough. And, you know, a lot of people want independence. But even the people that don't want independence that are happy being in the union, they don't want associated with the king. They don't want associated with royal family, English football commentators, Tories, Starmer, or anything to do with Westminster or the Sun. And my theory why this is largely true is because, you know, we've grown up with the Scottish stereotypes in our mainstream media. So we grew up with the BBC and ITV telling us that we were, you know, so we were tight with our money. We're always wearing kilts, eating haggis. If we're in a TV show, we're either the police or the wife beater. So I think we're a bit more switched on to what the media do and how they portray people and how they use stereotypes to dehumanise certain sects of society. So, yeah. But there's still too much racism in Scotland, but at least we're not running about smashing up our towns yet. But that's, it's up to everybody to educate people and to just, let's start talking about the rich people, the corporations who aren't paying any tax, and let's stop picking on people just because of their skin colour or their nationality. But yeah, Tommy Robinson didn't turn... So to answer your question, Greg, Tommy Robinson didn't turn up. There wasn't any riots. They got outnumbered and they got chased out of a pub, and hopefully things will calm down over the winter. Because, to be honest, people don't really protest in the UK in the winter because it's freezing.
You call that radio?
Okay, this is the news. And I've been asking Patreons of You Call That Radio that they can message me at any time and say, can you cover this, can you cover that? And up until now, people haven't been doing it that much. But we got one yesterday, Aaron Fidarby, who says, as a fan of Foo Fighters, what do you make of the Dave Grohl scandal? Well, I would first of all say a fan is maybe pushing it a little bit. I mean, I'm not a super fan. I did see Foo Fighters at Hampden a couple of months ago, and it was good. He's got classics. I was more a Nirvana fan than a Foo Fighters fan, but it was a good show, Aaron and Darby. I, for one, am shocked that a multi-millionaire touring rock star is having the sex with a female lady. This segment is supposed to be called This Is The News, and this isn't the news. I suppose the surprise, based on everyone's reaction, is that he's supposed to be a nice guy. You know, people are saying, it just goes to prove that it is all men. People are saying, all we've got left is Keanu Reeves, as far as nice guys go. But can the guy not be a nice guy and still a mad shagger? Maybe he has an arrangement with his wife. You don't know. It's not really anyone's business apart from his wife, and maybe his family to a lesser extent. And, you know, people are saying, well, why is he making it public? He's embarrassing his family and that. It was obviously going to come out through TMZ, or someone was going to break the story. So he's got ahead of it, and it's a good time. You know, September 10th, I think he dropped it, because then everyone talks about September the 11th, and everyone talks about the... Everyone's talking about Donald Trump talking about eating cats and eating dogs. Everyone talk about 9/11 and eating cats. Random kid finding out that their dad is Dave Grohl. Basically everyone's making the same joke. I've got another confession to make. Are we here? So you're... That's Jim McDonald of Coronation Street fame. Yeah, I mean, I think the memes are fine. People are like to make memes about it. But I don't know why everyone's surprised. And, you know, he's basically said, I've recently became the father of a new baby daughter, born outside of my marriage. I plan on being a loving and supporting parent to her. I love my wife and my children, and I'm doing everything I can to regain their trust and earn their forgiveness. We're grateful for your consideration toward all the children involved as we move forward together. It seems like a perfectly reasonable response. He's not hiding from his responsibilities as a father. He's apologising, and he's going to move on. And yeah, I don't really think that's newsworthy. That is not the news. Yeah, Dave Grohl is a mad shagger. Shock, shock, horror, horror, shock, shock, horror. I think we can all just get on with our lives. And I don't think you need to bin your Foo Fighters CDs or burn your vinyl. If you're a Foo Fighters fan, I think you can still be a Foo Fighters fan. And if you didn't like the Foo Fighters, then you can go, ah ha ha, he's not as nice as he makes it. But I think in general, he's proved he is quite a nice guy. That is what I think. And we'll do some more news today. Well, because that's not really the news. I usually say this is the news, but it's not really the news. Like and subscribe for some real news. And if you want to suggest things that we cover on this show, then you can become a patron at patreon.com/youcallthatradio. And let me know in the comments, what do you think? Is this news? Does this prove that he's been a lying snake all along? Does anyone actually care? Does anyone give a shit? Really? A multimillionaire rock star is doing the sex with a female lady while on tour. He's all shocked. Ooh! Scary biscuits. I think there's worse things going on in the world. It's Naaman's business. Fuck it. Radio. You call that radio? This is the news on You Call That Radio, and today's question from our patron comes all the way from Seattle, from Jeffrey, who says, hey, do you know the band Linkin Park? What do you make of the whole situation? Yes, I do know Linkin Park. And this is what I think. This is the news on You Call That Radio. I think Scientology has just bought a band, and that band is called Linkin Park. Not to be confused with Millican Park. Of course I know who Linkin Park are. They were targeted at my demographic. They missed. I was never really into them, but it was targeted at me. Never my band. But I did enjoy a few tunes, and they were huge. I remember the collaboration with Jay-Z live album or whatever it was. I remember that being really important culturally at the time. And also, I've got a lot of sympathy for the band and the fans and the way that Chester sadly left the earth. So after 7 years to replace a much loved and international icon like Chester, with a PR disaster like Emily Armstrong. It's either A, bad decision making, as in very, 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 very bad decision making, or B, Scientology started a secret record label within plain sight, and Linkin Park is their first signing. B makes a lot more sense to me than A. How else could you get this so wrong? So my understanding is they did a secret launch to, like, a bunch of fans got given free tickets. So it's hard enough to fill in the shoes of someone like Chester. I wasn't that familiar with her band Dead Sara. There is no doubt we're dealing with a talented singer here. No doubt whatsoever. But not really got the star power or the reputation that a lot of people would have wanted. And also, it's also risky. I mean, changing the singer at all is risky. But changing a male singer to a female singer is even riskier. And that's nothing against female singers, obviously. If it was a female singer, you know, it's like, would you replace, would do a Destiny's Child comeback and replace Beyonce with Fred Durst or something? That wouldn't make much sense either. So it's not that, this is not a misogyny thing, it's just, it's a big change. It's a big change. Now, whether this could have worked, I think it could have worked. It would have taken a while, but I think people would have just got used to it. It would have finally been okay. And I think that the ticket sales would have been through the roof because people would have been excited about the nostalgia of seeing their favourite songs from their teenage years being sung back at them. But Emily Armstrong is coming with a lot of baggage. So if you don't know, first of all, a Scientologist, controversial. Scientology isn't very popular these days for the tactics that they use. We'll not go into all of that, but not very popular. But more importantly, she stuck up for her fellow Scientologist who was in That 70s Show, which I never watched. I remember the UK version of That 70s Show. But, I don't remember watching it. I kind of recognise his face from films, but I'm not an expert. All we know is the guy's a creep and he's going to jail for a long time. And that Emily Maston went to court to support him and gave a letter to the judge saying he's a really nice guy and a role model. Chester Bennington's son, is it pronounced Jamie? I think it's Jamie. So what was it he said? He said he criticised the reunion and said that they'd quickly erased my father's life and legacy in real time. And Shinoda of Linkin Park responded with, many people take time to wrap their heads around the change. If people are respectfully not there yet, I'm totally fine with that. Which was fine in the context of it just being a new singer, a female singer, a singer that not everyone was happy with. But then when the Mars Volta stuff comes out, Linkin Park have said nothing. If you go into their social media, they're just promoting the tour, buy tickets now, and they're sticking their head in the sand and pretending nothing's happening. Which, I mean, what does Emily Armstrong hold over them? Why can't they just say, hey, that was a bit of a stupid idea, we'll get a new singer in. They could get a new singer, a high quality singer with no baggage that the whole internet doesn't hate. So Emily Armstrong says, I'm new to so many of you and I wanted to clear the air about something that happened a while back. Several years ago, I was asked to support someone I considered a friend at a court appearance and went to one early hearing as an observer. Soon after, I realised I shouldn't have. I always tried to see the good in people, and I misjudged them. I have never spoken with him since. It would be okay if that's all she was accused of, but there was no mention of the other allegations, and there was absolutely no mention to distance herself from Scientology. So you can bet that she's still on the Scientology train, and you can bet that Linkin Park knew that this would happen, surely. Surely. So that's why I think Scientology has just bought a band. And now you've got Chester Bennington's son is getting death threats, apparently. And you know what I would say is that I don't think it's fair to say that they've erased the legacy. The legacy is still there. Chester's legacy is there forever. So, and also he isn't grieving, so he's got every right to have an opinion on this. I think that 7 years has passed, and I think that they're right to try and move forward, and whether that's making new music or just playing all the hits to their old fans, there's nothing wrong with that. But this was really, like I said, really bad decision making. How can you mess this up so badly after having 7 years to think about this? So either Emily's got something over them, or Scientology just bought a band. And right now, I think Scientology's just bought a band. It's Scientology Records, probably the most controversial record label since Death Row Records. And that's what I think, Jeffrey from Seattle. Thanks for your question. If you'd like me to cover anything else that's in the news, just leave a comment below or sign up at patreon.com/ you call that radio. And this is the news.
I got you. Ready? Yeah, one, two. Yo, this is Charlie Tuna from Jurassic 5 live and direct here in Glasgow, Scotland, and you call that radio?
This is the news on You Call That Radio, and Jane's Addiction have been fighting on stage, so let's have a little look at this. I will explain the video to anyone listening on the audio podcast about what we're about to witness, but there's been a bit of a skirmish. There's been a bit of a skirmish on stage. See if it's as bad as everyone says. He says, fuck you. And he shoulders checks him. It looks like he's got to punch him a microphone, this Perry, to Dave Navarro. And then he swings at him, but it kind of, Dave Navarro uses his guitar like a shield. And then Dave Navarro kind of shoves him, then as soon as security gets involved. Then about five people pinning him to the ground. And they march him off stage. Let's look at it from a different angle, just to make sure we're not missing anything. This is fuck you. Shoulder check. Look, Dave Navarro looks genuinely scared here. He's saying, chill out, man, chill out. It looks like he's shaking a little bit. And Perry's just going apeshit. Perry's gone tonto, and it takes about 4 or 5 people to get him in the deck. So after watching two angles, it definitely looks like Perry's in the wrong here. In this particular scene that we're seeing, the word on the street is from people who were at the gig is that he was drunk. Perry was drunk throughout. He turned up with his bottle of wine. Although I think Perry always turns up on stage with a bottle of wine, so that's nothing new there. This was on Friday the 13th in Boston. 2 nights before that, apparently Perry was drunk, he was mumbling, he was going in rants, it didn't go so well. But then the next night, apparently the gig went really well, and they seemed to iron it out. But whatever happened on Friday, he was in a bad mood. So what set him off, there has been statements from, I think it was, well, the band have cancelled their gig today. And they've apologised to the fans, saying refunds are available. So it looks like the tour is off, and it looks like the band have split up again. I believe they initially split up in 1992 because Perry punched Navarro backstage. You can correct me if I'm wrong on that one, but that's what I understand. And was it the wife of Perry or a family member of Perry? Obviously a biased opinion. But quite an interesting theory that I can relate to a little bit. And that is that this has happened to me before in the past, where bass guitarist and lead guitarist keep turning their volume up on stage, and then that means you can't hear yourself in the monitor mix. Now, Perry is 65-year-old, drunk, maybe, based on that jaw, look at that jaw, maybe something else, he might have had a couple of lines as well. He's 65, he's probably shattered, he's in the middle of a tour, and it looks like he's losing his voice. And it is a pain in the arse when your guitarist and your bass guitarist are turning each other up, because you can't hear yourself in the monitor mix. And when you're struggling with your voice, as I have in the past, where you're running out of voice, I had a vocal polyp before. So when you do about 3 gigs in a row, you start to lose your voice a bit. So it's very important that you can hear yourself, otherwise you start screaming. So if that is the case, then I can actually relate to Perry. Although I don't condone that behaviour, that's a bang out of order what he's done. You can see that Navarro looks genuinely scared. So that's shite. And I know Navarro supports Trump or whatever, but I don't care. It's nothing to do with... Let's keep politics out of this one. This is just a Rami on stage. And I'm not against Rami's on stage, man. It happens. You know, if you're a band in your teens or your 20s, maybe even your early 30s. I've had fights with my band members on stage before. I think most people have. Fights with audience members. Fights with sound engineers. Fights with promoters. It can all happen. Live music, when you're touring and everyone's tired, they're hyped up in adrenaline and they're taking drink or drugs or whatever, things can spill out. Aggression can spill over and cause a scene. And if you've maybe not seen this happen, explode on stage before with a band, you can bet that one of your favourite bands are fighting backstage. Because it could also be the third option, that they're just annoying each other. Band members are annoying. Doesn't matter how much you love your band members, if you're just on the road, stuck in each other's faces all the time, eventually you're just going to start annoying each other. It's like being in a long-term relationship. It's like, have you ever got a really good mate that you lived, had a flatmate, or a roommate, as Americans say, which always confused me, because I thought people were literally living in the same room as each other. But in Scotland, we call it a flatmate. We must have all lived with a flatmate who you're still friends with to this day, but you can't live with them. It might be that they were too messy or too loud, or maybe you were too messy and too loud. But either way, some people can't live together, and some people can't go out together. Some people can't go on the road together. I think this tour in general has been a bit of a long tour for them. We actually played with Jane's Addiction in May, the end of May, at Bearded Theory. And obviously not the same stage. They were on the main stage. We were on a smaller stage. We were on the Mason Convoy Cabaret. And because Convoy Cabaret was so good, I actually missed most of Jane's Addiction set. So I didn't really want to mention it too much, but it did seem like they were having some issues. I don't know if it was sound issues or band issues, but I did hear a couple of complaints about, like, a political rant that he didn't really know what he was talking about, and also he made a misogynistic joke or something. But I didn't actually see that myself. I just remember a few people that I know commenting on it and being a wee bit pissed off and being a bit disappointed by the whole set. So what do you think? Do you think do you think it's embarrassing? Do you think it's funny? Do you think it's just part of rock and roll? If I was in that audience, I wouldn't be demanding a refund. I would be like, I've just witnessed an important part of the Jane's Addiction story. Especially as it was towards the end of the gig when this all kicked off, apparently. So, I'd like to know your thoughts. This is the news on You Call That Radio. Now, most people at this point would say like or subscribe. I don't do that. Asking people to like or subscribe is just something you'll never see me do.